Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody can say no. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy for some, however, whatever you call me, amen. Just make sure that it is a child of God, healed, whole, and restored. Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, where we have our goal to encourage, to educate, and to empower all to the glory of God. I am so very, very excited on today to be able to share untimely word with you. But before we get into our lesson, I want to make sure that I acknowledge those of you that may be new listening to the broadcast. As I said, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. We're on every Monday night at 9 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time. So however you log in or however you dialed in, make sure that you come back each Monday night for an inspiring word that God has laid on our heart to encourage you, to give you something to think about. It may not be a brand new topic, but it's something to make you want to study and ponder a little bit more on so that you can wrap your heart around it and be empowered so that you can share it with someone else, but more importantly, to make it part of your lifestyle, to make it part of your daily routine, so that when you do empower others, praise God, they will make the necessary change as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you that have been listening with me. Praise God, we're moving into our eighth year. Can you believe that? How time flies when you're doing the things for the Lord. Amen. And so I'm grateful for you, because if you weren't here to encourage me, to empower me, to motivate me to do the things that God has called me to do, praise God, don't know if I'd have gotten as far and as long as I have. And so I'm so grateful for you, for my ups, my downs. You keep me encouraged, you call, you pray, you do everything that's necessary to keep me encouraged. And so for that, I will always give you a shout out. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Whether it's been 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, amen, I thank you. Now, I can't go on without giving a great shout out to the Mega Ministry Group, Jesse and Tammy Store, praise God, for giving me this opportunity to be able to come before you each week to be able to minister an on-time word. They put me in this river and told me to swim, and praise God, I've been swimming ever since. And so I will always give a major shout out to them for keeping me encouraged and keeping me focused. Now, our biggest and our greatest praise has to go to our Father above. Whether you know it or not, He's your Father, He's my Father, He's all of our fathers. And if we be obedient and do the things that He's called us to do, we will feel His love and His endurance all day long. And so let's go before Him in prayer before we start into our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You thanking You for Your wonderful blessings. We thank You for waking us up this morning. We thank You, Father, for blessing our day. Father, whether we acknowledge You at the beginning of our day or not, we thank You, Father, that we have time to acknowledge You now. We thank You, Father, that You have given us the spirit and the breath of life to be able to do what You've called us to do. And Father, we're asking that You help us do it in an abundant way so that Your light, Your will, and Your way will always shine through whatever we're doing, Father. We want to make sure that our bodies are lined up in the direction that You would have us, that we're doing the things that You've called us to do, and we're being in the place that You called us to be. So Father, touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our souls, touch our spirits, Father, to be obedient, to be open to You, to acknowledge that You are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to You, we will bear much fruit, because we want to bear fruit that will remain. We want to do the things that are according to Your plan and Your purpose, so we can always be pleasing before You. So help us, Father, build the right foundation in You. Help us to know what to do to be more like You and to live like You so that others can be drawn to You. And Father, we just thank You when we miss the mark, or we get slow or procrastinate or do things that may deter us from Your path, that You bring people into our life that will encourage us to move back to the place of purpose where You'd have us. And then Father, help us to be quick and diligent to be and do what You've called us to do, so that we can always be before You and know that we are operating with a pure heart and clean hands. So we just thank You, Father, again for this time. Bless those that are maybe listening, Father, that may be needing some help and encouragement, Father, some needed word, Father, to be in line and directly in line with You with their next step, their next chapter in life. If this is something that You would help them with, Father, then let them be open to hear. Have them have paper and pen in hand to write down what is necessary so that we all can be able to do the things that You've called us to do, so we can have a strong foundation in You. Father, we love You, we honor, we adore You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so over the past couple of weeks, those of you that listen in on a faithful basis, you know that going through my transition of healing and trying to get my voice back and trying to do the things that God has called me to do without delay from my body being hindered. But praise God, I believe God has given us an on-time word for today. I have been reading and studying and trying to really get a focus on where my next chapter will lie and where God is placing me. And so in order for me to understand, I kind of had to go back to the basics. Because I think sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we do things that are, think that are good, but not necessarily in line with the things of God. And so when we want to become mature and grow and do the things that God has called us to do, then we have to go back to the beginning and really kind of focus on what is the real purpose of us being here. What is the real idea, or what is the plan that God has for me individually? I know collectively as a group He wants us to be a unified body, but what is my part in this unified body? What grace has God given to me that was appointed by Christ? Because we've all been appointed by Christ, and we've all been given the grace to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. So He has given us steps and given us a foundation and given us a roadmap how we can mature in those things. Sometimes we stay in our infant stages too long. And isn't it something how I love visuals and how God has given us a visual to understand how we can see in the natural a baby. And we see the progression that some babies crawl before they walk. Praise God, some of them just jump out walking. But for the most part, we crawl before we walk. And then we start on milk before we get to meat and then get to the other solid foods of life. And so there's a maturity and there's a step. But when it comes to ministry, when it comes to the things of God, it interests me how long we stay infants instead of growing up in the things of God. And God has given us a clear roadmap through His Word. And so we just thank Him for His Word, for allowing us to be able to have some tools to be able to know what to use, how to grow, and to be mature, and not to even be growing and mature, but to be solid and mature in the things that God has given. And so I love the fact, again, I love the Word, and I love that it pays attention on so many areas on what we must do, how we must talk, how we must walk, how we must train, how we must equip, all the things that we would do, the greater works, the lighter works, all the things that we must do in order for us to be effective and mature Christians. Now, the lesson as far as scripture reference that God placed on my heart to study from today is found in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 4. And it's interesting that this word kind of sums up what I believe God is trying to get me to share with each of you. As far as how we have to lay the foundation, I started out wanting to talk about planting seeds and how we grow. And so it still is in the same reference. And so again, I have to move where God tells me to move. And so we're still talking about building. We're still talking about foundation. We're still talking about the necessary work that we have to do to our bodies. So I believe when God was telling me about planting, about working, about gathering, it's the same type of thing. It's just not necessarily seeds, but supplies and what we must do to build ourselves to make sure that we're a strong, solid foundation. And so this particular passage of scripture, and I apologize that I'm going to spend quite a bit of time. I shouldn't apologize for that. It's the Word, right? But we'll be spending a lot of time in the Word to work down these scriptures because I want to make sure that we have a great understanding of what God laid on my heart to share with you on tonight, because I believe God is wanting us to become more mature in our walks. Many of us have been comfortable being babies, and many of us have been comfortable being adolescents in the Word. And it's time for us to step up our game. And so when we look at Ephesians 4, it starts out, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, you know, most times babies, when they're infants, they don't understand too much drama. I mean, they want a lot of things that says, mine. But for the most part, they're humble, they're gentle, and they're bearing love with one another. It's not until we get into the things and the experiences of life that makes us off balance, where we're not gentle and when we're not humble and when we don't love one another. So let's be reminded that when we come into the faith, we're so excited and so we're humble, so we want to operate through peace. We want to operate through one body and one spirit is God has caused us to hope. And that hope is in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of God, the Father of all, who is all and through all. That's verse 6. Praise God. Let's move along. But to each of us, he has, I'm sorry, let me start verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed. Remember I said that before. This is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. He does the, what, I'm sorry, verse 9. What does he ascend mean, except that he also descends to the lower earthly regions? He who descends is everyone who ascends higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Now, that's a mouthpiece, praise God. And I apologize, we don't have time to break that down, but one day we'll probably get into that. But just basically knowing that Jesus went, looked to earth to make sure that he captured all those that he needed to give these gifts to. Amen. And so verse 11 says, so Christ himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all, not some of us, we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, who became mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. And this is the part I believe that God is stressing us for, is verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness people and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking in the truth and love, we will grow to become in every aspect of a mature body in him who is the head of, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, not part of the body, the whole body, joined and held together by every support ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I love the fact that my particular passage of scripture has headings for each of these parts of the scripture. So the first part, it says unity and mature in the body of Christ. And then the next set of scripture gives instructions. And that's the thing that I love about God, is he doesn't leave you hanging. He doesn't give you instruction and then leave you hanging. He gives you details and gives you the nuts and the bolts so you can tighten the stuff up so you can be right, so it's not loose. He wants you to make sure that you have an understanding so that you can change, you can make the necessary decisions to know when it's time for you to do this step and the next step. And then he doesn't leave you hanging by making you believe, well, this is not just for me, this is for such and such. No, this is for us all. Now, he did specify that he did appoint apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, but he appointed them because he wanted to make sure that they were equipped to service the bulk of the people. Because not all of us are apostles, not all of us are prophets, not all of us are evangelists and pastors and teachers. God gives those gifts to some so that we can all be equipped, because we are all part of the body of Christ and we all need to be built up, and so that we are operating in the knowledge and the faith of God, so that we can become mature. I love that he said he doesn't want us tossed to and fro, because so many people are not necessarily operating in the fullness and the understanding of God. And so the Bible even specifies in 14 that there are going to be people that will be cunning and they'll be crafty in their deceit and their schemes. And sometimes it's not always as easy to be able to see. That's the part that I think I love the most, when I really understood what deception meant. Deception, basically, you don't even know you're being deceived. And so people can be that deceitful and that skimming in their purposes. And that's another thing that was hard for me to even believe, that people would want to be deceptive. They would want to scheme. They would want to mislead you. But believe it or not, saints, there are people out there that are, that's part of their assignment. They have rejected the maturing and the growth in Christ, but they're maturing in themselves. And that's why the Bible always leads us to other scriptures that talks about why we shouldn't lean to our own understanding. Because when we fall to our understanding, we fall to schemes and devices that are not of God. Because remember, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's going to destroy by not just putting something in your face to say, poison, eat it. No, he's going to give you distractions, things that seem fun, things that seem alive, things that seem like they're in your grasp that you can manage and maintain, even though God has given you another assignment, giving you a different direction. But this may seem like it's something that's in your field, that you have experience in this area. This is something that you've always wanted to do, and you're going to see the lights and the flashes and the sparks and everything comes out. My girlfriend always says, you know, people see that star and they want to jump in and ride on the star. Absolutely. All those things have bells and whistles to distract you, to deceivingly con you away from the path that God has for you. And so if you're not careful, if you have not built the right foundation to hear the voice of God and know when God has given you wisdom and instruction, you will be led astray. You will be conned. You will be schemed. And you will be taking off the path that God has for you. And it may seem right, because the Bible talks about that too. Some ways seem right to man. Some things seem like they just logistically sound right. They logistically sound like they have a plan and a purpose. But we have to remember, when we fall victim to those things, we're operating as an infant. Because you think about a baby, whatever they see, they want. Doesn't matter if it's good for them or bad for them. If it's flashy or it can do something that they think is entertaining to them, they'll reach for it and they'll grab it. But God is saying that he wants us to mature. And just because something looks flashy and something looks good doesn't necessarily mean that it's for us. And so that's why he gives us instructions. He says in verse 17 in chapter 4 of Ephesians, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the frugality of their thinking. They don't have complete understanding. Verse 18 says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. And that is due to them because of the hardening of their hearts. Saint, we cannot harden our hearts, and our hearts can become hardened, not because we're putting something over it, the crust over it, to make it hard. It's because we don't have the active life and the voice of God in our heart. And it causes us to be hardened, and we don't hear the things of God. We want to be pliable. We want to be humble. And that's why even the beginning of the passage of Scripture, it talks about why we need to stay humble, because we don't want to have a hardening of our heart. Where in verse 19 it says, we've lost all sensitivity that they were given to themselves. And then they give themselves over to the sensual and to indulge in every kind of impurity. Anything that they are full of greed. Remember, those babies, they just grab for everything. One piece can, two piece can, five piece can, 10 piece, it doesn't matter. Just greed, just want it. Not having any discipline, not having any structure. But verse 20 says that moreover, this is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made in the new and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, to put on the new self created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. Well, praise God. That's a mouthful too. And praise God, I just wish I had more time, because I could really go down that lane about taking off the old man and putting on the new. When we gave our life to Christ, we put all those old things away, and we're trying to live a life that's true to God. And so it doesn't happen right away. For some of us, it can, praise God, because depending on where we are, we just don't want to do that no more, praise God. But some of us, it takes time, just as it takes time for a baby to learn how to tie them shoes, better yet, to even put on their shoes and put them on the right feet. There's a process. You know, many times it still confuses me when I see little kids and they have their shoes on the wrong feet and they're running and playing like they don't even feel the discomfort. And I think to myself, that seems so uncomfortable. Well, that's how sometimes we look in the spirit. We have our clothes on backwards. We have our shoes on the wrong feet. and we're just operating. And so God is saying, no, he wants us to be more mature. He wants us to look in the mirror and say, does this look right? Am I operating? Am I operating in a new man? Am I operating like what I used to look like? My husband one time wore two different shoes to work. It was dark and the shoes looked similar. He had on one blue shoe and one brown shoe. Praise God. And so, amen. How do you do that? Rushing, not paying attention, not doing the things that God has called us to do. That's why we have to be so careful that we're always in a planning state to making sure that we're lining up with the things of God. Lord, is this right? I love the fact that the Bible even says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And so when we acknowledge God, then we know when we're out of line. We just kind of have that innate feeling, something's not right. I need to go before God and get myself together because something doesn't seem right. And it could be that your tag is showing or your slip is showing or your you have on two different shoes or have on different color socks, whatever the situation. And I'm being a little bit more graphic so that you can have the visual. But this is how we are in the spirit. We lie too much. We're saying bad words or we're gossiping or we're doing things that's contrary because it doesn't look like the newness that we're supposed to put on. We're still operating in that former way of life. And the Bible says to put on the new and have a new attitude in your mind, verse 24, to put on the new self created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. Now, mind you, we give our lives to Christ, and I believe this is where really God is really wanting us to really tabernacle in this particular passage of the lesson, is because if we don't pull off those old things, it says in 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. We cannot be part of the body of Christ and still have the old things on us because it makes the body as a whole look bad. So your bad, your ripped up, tied up shirt on one, the left side, doesn't match the right side of somebody that's doing the righteousness. And so it says, it gives us instruction in verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. We can be angry because that's part of an emotion, but don't sin. And then it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. That is one of the things that I think in the body, we have been so caught up allowing the enemy. Remember, we talked about that in the first part of the scriptures, about how we can be schemed and how the enemy and his craftiness, when we're under deception, we don't even realize that we're operating in deception. And so once we give the Satan a foothold, then praise God, and that's just even a little window, then it becomes a stronghold. And then if we're not careful, it will become a strong house, a strong tower, condominiums, a whole city if we're not careful. So when we do that, and it says in 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no more, but do work, do something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. And that's why it's so important for us to serve. When we serve one another, especially those that are less fortunate than us, then praise God, it takes away the ideas of those wicked schemes that the enemy places in our head that we could do this or we could do that. Because if our minds are always focused on doing something good for someone else, then praise God, verse 20 says, we won't have to worry about any unwholesome talk that will come out of our mouth. But if we only to do what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then this is most important, verse 30, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom he has sealed with us for the day of redemption. That means the Holy Spirit is not going anywhere. He's going to be there with us. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do anything that's against the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to build us up, to help us to move in the things of God, to help us to become more unified, to help us to become more diligent in doing the things that God has laid on our heart to do. And so it says, get rid of all that bitterness. Get rid of the rage. Get rid of the anger, the arguing, the brawling, and the slandering. Anything that has any form of malice, we want to get rid of those things. And sometimes it can be difficult, depending on how long you've held on to that stuff. Be kind. Be compassionate to one another, forgiving each of you just as Christ forgave you. And I think sometimes we forget how easy it was for Christ to forgive us. We walked up to that to the altar or wherever you gave your life to Christ, and you were crying out and pouring out for God to forgive you, and in an instant he did it. But when it comes to each other, we want to hold stuff. Why do we do that? Why do we want to hold on to rage? Why do we want to hold on to anger, to bitterness? That makes us ugly people on the outside, and then eventually, on the inside, and then eventually on the outside. We want to smile. We want to be humble. We want to be inviting and engaging. That's how we unify and bring and draw people to us. We can't do that if we're always running around with all this stuff on the inside. And that's why I try to make it a point to try to make sure that I do the things that God has called me to do. And that's why verse 19 for me has always been a sensitive part, because it says those that have lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality so that they indulge in every kind of impurity. If we don't keep our senses intact, we will fall into the indulgences. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll eat some worms. I guess I got that from Saturday Night Live sometime some years ago, and I thought it was cool, so I remembered it. But it always reminds me that when you get into that funk of nobody, you know, understands me, blah, blah. No, you got to turn that off, and that's why it's so important for us to have confessions. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word, because God understands. If nobody else understands, God does. If we don't understand how to do something, we can go to God. He can give us instructions. He can hook us up with people that will give us wisdom. I have people coming out of the woodwork now just texting me things and giving me instructions, because God has a new direction and a new path for me. And it's a little confusing because I don't know exactly where to go. I don't feel like I'm qualified to really go in that direction. And it has been so amazing. Just people just out of the blue, haven't even mentioned anything to or said anything to, are sending me text messages, giving me encouraging words. And I know that they're not doing that on their own. I know that's God. And so when you look to him, he will give you direction. He will give you the things that you need. He will give you the motivation. He will send the mentors. He will send the teachers. My nephew said years ago when he was on the show, he said, when you're ready to be a student, God will send the teacher. I never forgot that, because that is so, so, so true. I don't even know that if you just think about it in your own life, when you wanted to do something and you didn't know what to do and you didn't know how to do it, how just all of a sudden somebody you met, somebody you walked up to, somebody just came into your life, knew exactly what you was about to do. That's God sending a teacher in your life to help you. You may not use everything that they've given, but praise God, they can lead you in the direction that God, and then you give it to God, and then he'll fill the rest in. Amen. It is amazing how God wants to motivate us, wants to mature us, wants us to grow in his things. But I think today he really wants us to understand we can't keep doing this as infants, and we got to start thinking about the body of Christ. We're coming to the end of the road, saints. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back sooner than later. If you look at where our world is going with the pandemic and all the other things that are going on in the world, if you can't tell, if those of you that read the word, that Jesus is coming back soon and that he's looking for his church, and I'm not talking about Bible Baptists or whatever the name of your church may be. He wants that to be a clean house too. But he's talking about the body. We are the church. He wants you to be right. He doesn't want you to be an infant forever. He wants you to grow up. And so whatever you have to do to grow up in the things of God, I think we get so complacent. We go to church Sunday after Sunday. We read our little devotion, and we think that that's enough. That's not growing. Think about that. If a baby, all he did was put his shoes on, that's going to make him an adult? That's going to make him a toddler and then a teenager? No. He has to go to school. He has to educate himself. He has to train himself. He has to learn lessons. You have to do things. And one of the things that I think that we've gotten stumped, we think that just because I give my life to Christ and go to church Sunday after Sunday, that that's maturing. No, ma'am. You're just going to hear something that's no more different than us putting a kid in front of the TV. Yeah, they're going to learn the SpongeBob song, and yeah, they may learn some of the applications that they have, but that is not life. They're going to have to get a book, put the book in their hand. They're going to have to read. They're going to have to write. They're going to have to write papers. They're going to have to learn how to spell. They're going to have to learn definitions. They're going to have to write so many times that they won't chew gum in class or whatever the lessons are in life. There's somebody there molding them to grow and mature. And so if you're not going to church to learn, you're just going to hear a lesson just to say that I went to church, that's not maturing. That's doing something. That's like watching a TV program. No, ma'am. God wants us to mature. And the only way that we can mature is us doing our part. And that's why it's so important for us to get into the Word. One of the classes that I teach, and I'm so fortunate that God has blessed me to be able to teach classes because it keeps me maturing, keeps me studying, keeps me in the things of God. And one of the questions that I posed my students were, if we took, remember we talked about in the first part of chapter 4, that God appointed these apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to teach the equipping, what if there were no titles? Would you be able to tell by the anointing and the gift of these people that they actually held those titles? Would you know? How would you know? You wouldn't know unless they were mature in their giftings. And so whatever God has called you to, think about it. Whatever gifting God has given you, if you didn't have the title and you didn't tell people, would they know that you walk in that anointing? Could they tell? Could they tell by your wholesome talk? Could they tell by your soft, sensitive heart? Or is your heart hardened? Have you lost sensitivity to the kindness of people? Have you gotten so greedy and wanting to be successful and wanting more and more and more that you've lost how to really just be humble in the sight of God? What would people say about you? And so if they cannot see the anointing without you telling them, then that means that you have given a foothold to the enemy. Maybe he has a condominium in your heart. And maybe you need to go to God and figure out what do you need to do to break all that up. Now, praise God, I wish I could go into spiritual warfare here. Praise God, we'll be able to do that in a couple weeks to come because I'm about to take a class on that. But anyway, praise God, I have some steps that I want you to really kind of focus on to help you see, do you have the right foundation to build yourself in Christ? And so it's only 5 simple steps. There's a couple scriptures to go along, and so I know my sister likes to write down scriptures. I hope she reads them after I go over them each week. But praise God, the first scripture that we went to was the whole chapter of Ephesians 4. But now I'm going to give you some scriptures because I'm going to give you the scriptures to go with these 5 steps. Now, the coolest thing is that I try to create my own steps, but this was just too good. I had to leave it for what it was. But I Googled building a strong foundation in Christ, and this one came up. And it was a really cool steps. And so the very first step is that move forward and don't look back. And that's all part of what God is trying to get us on today, is to mature, to not stay in our infancy. We got to move forward. You can look back, but don't go back. My girlfriend always tells me, Leah, don't get salty. And I love how she refers to that, because how Lot's wife looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. Sometimes we look back to Egypt too much and we can get caught up, but we look back and we just can't move forward. We get frozen. Don't always look back. Write down the mistakes and the things that you make to make sure you don't want to repeat them again. All those things that may have stumbled to cause you to be angry. Some of those things that may cause you to have unforbid, so that you can work on them. And so you give yourself scripture references so that you make sure that when those things come up that you can remove those. Because I'm a firm believer that you got to have a word of God to cover whatever you're doing. So you grieve and find a word of God that'll cover that. You're sad, find a word of God to cover that. You're afraid, find a word of God to cover that. Don't keep saying, I'm scared to do this. No, mature in that. Face it and move from it. Oh, no, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. And if it's something that God wants you to overcome, find scriptures that will help you overcome it. Don't get caught up and say, no, I'm just scared to do that. And you never do it. That's infancy. You want to grow from that. I remember I've said several times, I used to be scared of the dark. I was 40 years old. That's insane. 40, scared of the dark. I had to overcome that because God has given me, I am more than a conqueror, but I'm scared of the dark. How can I say that? No, ma'am. So I had to mature in that. So I had to do the necessary things and make sure that I could move forward and not keep looking back and using that as an excuse that I can't study the things and help people become delivered and set free from warfare because I'm scared of the dark. I'm scared of the devil. No. God said that that the name of Jesus, demons tremble. And I'm trembling with the demons? I don't think so. I can say Jesus' name with boldness and confidence in knowing who I am in him because I belong to him. The devil, he had a chance, but he blew it. I'm not going to blow my chance. So I have to move forward. I can't think in that infancy stage anymore. I got to grow up. And so one of the things that I love when we were talking about, even in the passage of scriptures from Ephesians 4, that we don't want to stay in the infancy stage, and we don't want to stay in that that old pattern, that old self. We want to move to the new man with a new attitude. This particular step talks about that you have to transform your life. You have to make a decision to allow God to transform you, that you have to repent first of your sins. I love the steps of God, the keys to the kingdom. You got to repent first because you got to go before him with clean hands and a pure heart. So you repent and not just say, Lord, I'm sorry from cussing so much. I'm sorry for fornicating or whatever it is. You got to make a complete turn, 180-degree turn. Lord, I want to have a solid foundation in you. I'm repenting and I'm asking for you to forgive me so that I can move forward in the things of you. And the thing that I love that can help you is Hebrews 12 and 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked for us. God wants us to be mature, not to be an infant. So let those things that has been making you an infant that you keep being victim of, die to that, repent, turn, and then throw it off, amen, because it's a hindrance and you don't want to have a foothold, stronghold, or condominium in your heart. So you got to abide by Hebrews 12 and 1. Move forward, don't look back. Step 2, surround yourself with solid Christians. A good community of Christians, praise God, helps us stay accountable, helps us build upon one another, helps us to make sure that we're in line with one another. I love the fact that when God helped me to go through the Master Life series, that was one of the steps. First, get yourself your vertical relationship together with God through prayer and the word. And then the next thing is have your horizontal life together. Fellowship with other believers and then help and minister to other people because, again, that keeps your mind focused on the things of God. Remember, we talked about being sensitive. You're sensitive to other people's needs. Then you're not greedy and full of all that yucky yuck that you're trying to make sure that you just build yourself up only. You want others. And so if you surround yourself through others, then God can work through you. And then, praise God, now you have a unified mind because you're coming together and you're around other people, praise God. Then God will build everybody around each of you up. And so then you'll have a stronger community, praise God. Then we go to Bible Baptist. Now your church is strong, praise God. God wants us strong individually to come together collectively, amen. And so when you seek out friends, Christian friends, you're probably not going to want to find them at the bar and at the club. There may be some of them there, amen. But we want to make sure that we want people that are doing things that are moving to mature in the things of God, that are reading and studying their word. So Bible fellowship classes, whatever it is that you need. Your church may not offer Sunday school, but make yourself available and invite people. That you know, it's kind of hard going out now because of the pandemic, but there are so many different websites that are open and that you create different friendships. Facebook, you know, it's the coolest thing is in that I still don't know much about technology, but I know my daughter always tells me, in your story, Mom, put it in your story. I'm looking for Christian friends. I mean, you may not want to go that route, praise God, but whatever you need to do to be and surround yourself, again, if you're ready to be a student, God will send you a teacher. He'll send you a mentor. Amen. But the scripture you want to stand on is Acts 2 and 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to an apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Again, that's something that we probably could do a little bit more after the pandemic. But 2 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another to build up one another, just as you were also doing. Now, one of the coolest things that I love is that most of us have some type of community, whether it be family, whether it be your intimate family or extended family. Start there. Call some family members that you haven't talked to in a long time. Build a relationship with them. Empower them and encourage them. Let's learn a scripture once a month and then practice. That's how you build up your endurance. That's how you build up the body. That's how you, praise God, can find a mentor or an accountability person, partner. That's step number 3. So first one is you got to move forward and you can't look back. And then the second one is surround yourself with solid Christian community. And the third one is find a mentor and an accountability partner. One of the coolest things, again, through that Master Life series is having a prayer partner. And so if you weren't really diligent with your prayer life, or you weren't really focused on how to pray or how to develop your prayers, that was the best way, having an accountability prayer partner. Then you get to build up your prayers. Again, one of my accountability partners, especially in the very beginning when I was really kind of clueless on how to do it, helped me, and she's been on the show several times, is pick you 3 to 5 scriptures in the Bible that, you know, really you could use some of the scriptures that we've talked about today, or find the ones that are your favorite, and then put them to memory and use them in your prayer time. And so when you pray, my scripture is John 15:5, Lord, I thank you that you're the vine and that I'm a branch. And I thank you, Father, that as long as I'm connected to you, I can bear much fruit. I know I can do nothing without you. And I know your word says that if I remain in you and your words remain in me, I can have the desires of my heart. Now, all that was John 15:5 and 15:7. And how I've had to learn that scripture and then incorporate it in my prayers. And then you get an accountability partner or a mentor that can help you. And so my mentor told me, you know, Khalil, you need more scriptures than that. Add more scriptures to that. And so you write them out, and then, you know, you can touch base once a week, every day, if however you want to do it. And then it's, what scripture did you find? And then, praise God, before you know it, you have a connection. And then you get your struggles. You can talk about your strengths. It's very, 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 very encouraging to have people that you can be accountable with. Now, some friends, you know, I can't say everything with. And some friends, I can say whatever I want to say, and I'm not being held accountable. Now, you don't want to have people in your life that's always going to beat you up, because that's not accountability. You need somebody that'll let you air your laundry and then help you put it back together. And that's the cool thing about being humble and being sensitive to the needs of others. And so you want somebody, and so that's what I said, you always ask God, Lord, lead me to the right person, because I want to make sure that I say and do the things that you've called me to do. And so I want them, because I'm part of this Christian community, they're going to hold me accountable so that they'll help me mature, so we won't stay infants. Because I can't call you and you in your infant stage and I'm in my infant stage. Remember our visual. Can you imagine two babies encouraging each other? They may encourage each other to go in the street. They may encourage each other to eat poison. I mean, they're not mature. So you don't want to mature. You don't want to partner with somebody to be your accountability partner, your mentor, if they're younger than you, praise God, or not as mature as you. You always want to try to find someone. And praise God, I can't stress enough, if you allow God to do it, he'll give you the best one. And so sometimes, even in those of us that are teaching and have been ministering for a long time, we need mentors too. I think sometimes we get so caught up because we mentor so many people that we don't need to be. We do. And for a long time, I used to feel bad, because I'm like, boy, how can I be teaching the word and still have all these problems and not know who to share them with? And it's like, I do. I give you those people. They're not going to hold you accountable. They're not going to judge you. And so when you find those people, they are jewels to hold on to, because at the end of the day, we all know that we have times where our flesh sometimes wants to be king. And so you have an accountability partner to help you walk through that and help you to understand, okay, now we're getting too fleshy. We need to get it back into the, we got to take that old man, can't let the old man come back on. We got to be held accountable. So you want to make sure that you have a mentor and accountability partner that will help you mature in the things of God. Number four, you want to create, and this is very important, you want to create a routine, habits that involves you spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. I cannot stress that enough. Sometimes, especially those of us that minister and have been ministering for a long time, I know I can speak for myself, we get a little lazy, we get a little shady when it comes to our prayer time because we pray so much for other people that we assume that time is, oh, Lord, I prayed today. No, ma'am. You're going to have your personal time with God, the time that you call out to Him, the times that you want to be transformed and want to feel His presence and to be in His anointing, because it is important. That's how we grow. That's how we mature, because we're in His presence. I say and I stress, my ultimate goal is that every time I'm in the presence of God, I want to be like Moses. I want people to see that I've been in God's presence. Each week I know that, especially when I was healing, it was like, but why are you doing the broadcast? You sound whatever. And I know my voice is a little still strained, but amen, I'm going to do what God called me to do because that's my assignment. I know that I've been in His anointing. I know that I've been in His will and His way, and that He's going to give me the strength that I need to do what I need to do. I know that I've been reading, and so I know Paul had a thorn in his side, yet he was still able. God's grace was still sufficient. My voice may be a little raspy, but you are understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth. You are understanding the scriptures that are coming out of my mouth. You're understanding the anointing that God has on His word for you to change from an infant to maturity. And so who am I to say I'm going to sit down on my gifts? I don't think so. No, man, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. That's because I spend time in His word, I spend time in prayer, and I listen to what He tells me, what I can and can't do. Now, sometimes I push myself a little too much, but again, I just believe in my heart God's grace is sufficient. And because He says that I can do all things as long as I give Him strength, and I'm doing things according to His plan and His purpose. Now, sometimes I may be that little infant and think, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And then, praise God, like most little kids, you have to tap their hand or tell them no. God tells me no, and God tells me to sit down, and I have to sit down. And then many times I do, praise God. But again, I'm doing what I need to do so that I can mature in the things of Him. I don't want to allow my handicap to handicap me. I don't want those old mindsets of staying in the bed and sitting down and not doing anything to become part of me again. I am a renewed body believing, card carrying, Bible toting, a woman of God, and I want to teach and do the things that God has called me to do. And I can't do that setting my old pattern that I just have to sit down and hope that one day I'm going to learn how to tie my shoes in the spirit. I don't think so. I have to get up and get the string. I have to get up and position the shoe in a direction that is easier for me to tie the knot. I have to be able to make my own loops. I have to be able to figure out, do I cross it over the top? Do I cross it under the bottom? Do I go through the hole? Do I wrap it around? You know, it is so amazing to me how many ways you can tie a shoe. But nevertheless, the shoe is tied. Are you kidding me? As long as we do what we need to do, we can mature in the things of God. But you got to try. You got to do something in order for it to happen. Amen. I'm getting a little excited. Got to stay on my time. Okay, so praise God. You got to create the routine and the habit that involves your time with God. You can let the day go by and never spend time with God. Oh, Lord, I missed it. No. You, that's part of maturing. When we tell kids you got to do your homework and they're supposed to just do it, no, you got to teach them that you set this time aside to do your homework, get your lesson in. It's the same thing. And it's so encouraging to me when I think back, when, especially when I'm teaching my daughter. I don't know what it is, how we forget when we went to high school and middle school and grade. Those are really lessons in life. How you learn how to get up in the morning, eat breakfast, get your clothes together, get to school. All these are transitions. When you get older, you get up, eat your breakfast, go to work. I mean, there's steps, and we somehow lose that. You do your work, You study, you master whatever it is that you're studying. Same thing with work. You take classes, you take education classes, whatever you need to do to study, to do what you do, to perfect what you do. Same thing. And then once you graduate elementary school, you go to junior high, you on your job, you get promoted to the next level. It's a pattern. Then when you finish work, you come home, you finish school, you come home, eat a snack, maybe take a nap, whatever you got to do, get yourself rejuvenated, and then you start your evening chores, whether it be cooking, showering, whatever you got to do, yard work, same thing. When you were in school, you came home, you did your chores, you took your good clothes off and put your play clothes. I mean, it's the same thing, and how that pattern we don't see. We were laughing this weekend about my daughter learning about different TV shows, and she searched. That the show was Cliffhanger, I think it was, and how she didn't even realize that it was teaching her how to read and understand that there's cliffhangers in the story. And I told her, I said, well, for me, I grew up with Schoolhouse Rock and all them conjunctions, what's your phone? I didn't grasp, but that was a lesson until I taught her 20, 30 years later, that was actually a program to teach me something. I just thought it was songs. But how we miss things in our infancy stages. When we go to Sunday school was to learn how to become more disciplined. But we just, I don't know about everybody, but it was just something to do because it was Sunday. And that was what we did before we went to the main service. Not understanding, not taking advantage of our infancy training to allow us to know that it was maturing us for a bigger job that God would have for us. Just as we transition in our natural jobs, that we want to be, you know, the manager, we should want to manage the things of God. We shouldn't just be comfortable at passing out scriptures. We should be in a place where we want to lead people to Christ, that we want to see change in their lives, that we are helping them, mentoring them to be more consistent in the things of God, not just being stuck at just going to church Sundays after Sunday and reading a Bible study lesson. No, let's live that. Let's be more like Christ. Let's show how our lives have been transformed. Our testimony, we should walk. People should be able to see. My testimony has been that every Monday night I have given a word of God because I've studied to show myself approved. I have not allowed my challenges to subdue me, to make me think I can't do my assignment for God. Absolutely. I said there were 5 steps. The 5th step is to serve and share. Why is that important? It is very important. Let me see. Did I give you the scripture for number 4? Well, we all know that we need to grow in the things of God. Amen. Okay, but the scripture for this, number 5 is Hebrews 13 and 16, is do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. God is pleased that I sacrifice and do the things that he has called me to do. That's why I enjoy teaching. That's why I enjoy training. That's why I enjoy mentoring. That's why I enjoy helping people be accountable, because somebody took the time to do that for me. And so if they didn't take the time to do it, I would still be an infant. Now, there are some areas that I'm probably still an infant, praise God. But I am trying to be a mature believer in Christ. I don't want people to know that I'm a doctor of the word because I'd have to tell them that I have a doctorate degree. I want them to know it because they know that I'm full of the word, not because of greed, but because I live it and because I'm trying to operate, that I'm showing myself mature in the things of God. Amen. And so you want to make sure that you adopt these 5 steps to help you build a strong foundation in Christ. They're simple. The first one is move forward and don't look back. And the scripture reference was Hebrews 12 and 1. The second one is surround yourself with a solid Christian community. And those scriptures was Acts 2:42 and 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And then, praise God, I didn't share this one, but Hebrews 12:27-31. Now, as we are the body of Christ, each one of you are part of it. God has placed us in the church first. And, of course, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, and all these people that will help us, guide us, And then give us all these things that will help us be able to do better things so that we can have a desire to have greater gifts. Amen. And then step three was find a mentor and an accountability partner. It is so important that you find somebody to help you stay accountable. Step four is create a new routine and habits that involves you spending time in the Word and prayer. You gotta pray. I mean, my favorite is John 15:7. If I remain in you, I'm remaining in the things of God, and I remain in your word, remains in me. That's prayer time and the word. Are you kidding me? I can ask whatever I wish to be, and then I can have the confidence in knowing that God hears me. Are you kidding me? And then because I know the word, that I can trample on scorpions and serpents, they don't work. Oh, amen. It's in this, once you get in the word and you learn them scriptures and you put them to your prayer time and you develop them and walk them out, prayer, you can't help but mature. You don't want to be a baby no more. Amen. Well, I mean, it's good to be held and get to be taken care of, but no, we got to mature in the things of God. Amen. And then number five, make sure that you serve and share the word. Praise God, praise God. And that's Hebrews 13:16. Don't neglect yourself from doing good. Now, praise God. You know, I love to talk and I can keep talking, but I am out of time. I'm not out of talk, but I am out of time. And so I want to always make sure that I close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, because she loves, loves, loves every praise belongs to God, because it does, and it really does. And I know that she is always listening in, so I want to make sure that I give her a shout out. And I want to make sure I give a shout out to each of you for tuning in. And thank you for tuning in. And pray that you tune in again next week, where we'll have another amazing word on Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Leah Killing, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. Amen. But most importantly, I want you to remember this, that you have to start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful one.
Let me hear the worshipers.